Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. Here at Branching Minds, we know all over this country there are administrators and teachers doing the extraordinary work of transforming school communities, making a difference for students each and every day. There is no better way to begin our podcast than featuring some of these remarkable educators. For these first episodes, our Voices from the Field series, we will feature a few education rock stars who are leaders in their school communities, doing the service to support students and teachers. I'm so excited to share today my conversation with Tiffany Studevant, who is in her 11th year with Clark County School District in Athens, Georgia. Her energy and enthusiasm for her work is contagious. Tiffany has extensive experience in supporting students and families at the school level, as well as supporting building leaders at the district level. After 9 years as an elementary special education teacher and team leader, Tiffany joined the district's support staff in her current role. She currently serves as the district MTSS implementation specialist, coaching and guiding 14 building level elementary MTSS coordinators with the overall implementation of the MTSS framework. Throughout this episode, we reference the term MTSS. If you aren't familiar with MTSS or multi-tiered system of supports, it's a system level structure or framework that a school or district might adopt to provide support for all students. MTSS helps educators identify students' academic, behavior, and social-emotional strengths and challenges to provide differentiated support for students based on their needs. MTSS grew out of the integration of two other intervention-based frameworks, Response to Intervention, RTI, and Positive Behavior Interventions and Supports, PBIS. Now for my conversation with Tiffany. Today we have Tiffany Studevant from the Clark County School District in Athens, Georgia. Tiffany, I would just love to hear you tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey in education, and where you're at today.
All right. Good morning, guys. And thank you, Larissa, for having me this morning. Like she just said, I'm Tiffany Studevant. I am an employee in Clark County School District. My current role is I'm one of the district's MTSS implementation specialists. Just to give a little background about myself, previous years, I've been in education for this is 11 years. I've been a special education teacher supporting elementary. I have been exposed to middle and high, but elementary is my passion. As far as this new role with MTSS, this is year two for me serving in this role. This is definitely different because I was solely tied to one elementary school. I was their special education teacher. I was their special ed team leader. And so I only knew how one building worked. And so now that I oversee and support 14 elementary schools, it's definitely been a learning curve and I appreciate that because I'm learning from different leaders, learning how different systems are in place. But definitely, like I said, this is definitely a learning curve and I'm loving it, loving the journey thus far.
I love how you sort of talk about that you are seeing lots of different perspectives, because I think that that's definitely when you go from being in your classroom then to being in lots of different classrooms, you gain a different perspective about education in general. And you just learn more from other teachers and just even like how it can work differently. So I love that you are seeing that in your transition.
Yes. Yes. And I'm loving it. Like I'm pulling bits and pieces of different knowledge from different people that have been in this, like in their role for way longer than I have and just grasping that knowledge and then trying to figure out how I can serve and support other buildings and making sure that they're clear on different like infrastructures with protocols, different effective teaming, like different things that I'm pulling now from the learning of like what all entails as far as the MTSS framework, knowing like this building may have some great systems in place when they, as far as scheduling, this building has different things in place as far as interventions. So like pulling bits and pieces for me now, trying to figure out how to, I guess, on a district level, making sure we have all these things, great things taking place, but making sure that we all are aware of the great things and making sure we're, I guess, pulling resources from each other. I know it's a lot. I'm probably all over the place, but I know like this year, I'm just, it's been a lot. It's been a lot of great things, but I think I'm in a somewhat muddy place on trying to figure out how I can best support on a district level to making sure we have the same things in place, if that makes sense, like speaking the same language, because there's so many great things going on, but I want everybody to hear the great things and use the same things are great things, but making sure we all have I don't even know what the word is, Larissa, like I guess like a district kind of guideline, like this is what's required. This is the actual protocol. This is the steps. This is how you do effective teaming. This is how you do the database decision making. This is how you structure your team. These are
Are
the
you talking
people that
about a
need to be.
system of supports?
Yes. Systems of supports. Yes.
Yeah.
Like getting the systems, like there's all these systems out there, and I've been in meetings and I've heard the great conversation. Like we're doing the things, we're analyzing the data. But I guess for me, just to make sure, I guess everybody's on the same page as far as understanding their roles and all those pieces. And
Yeah,
so,
everybody's going in the same direction. We're all working towards the
yes.
same goals. Yes, but I think that that's part of that is, being on the same page as a system level, being on the same page versus just, your school, because you have so many different resources available to you. I think that's often, as teachers, we maybe work on an island and not realize the kinds of resources we have around us. So
Exactly.
I'm glad that that's really
Exactly.
cool that you're seeing that. So you're in Athens County, Athens, Georgia, Clark County School District. Can you tell me a little bit about that school district?
Okay, so yes, I'm going to refer to my notes if you don't mind, because I never remember the whole demographics, the size, and all that stuff. But based on the data that I pulled from our platform, we are 48% African American, 2% Asian. 25% Hispanic and 20% white and 4% multiracial. Our enrollment by other subgroups, we have economically disadvantaged is 77%. Limited English proficient is 16%, and students with disabilities is 15.3%.
Wow,
It
very diverse in
very.
needs of support and culturally, like very diverse. So that has to be ha comes with like really great benefits, but also challenges, right? Like just the
Right.
diversity of the district itself.
Yes, and we have the total enrollment for the fiscal year of last, well, beginning of this year, it was 12,556 students. We have 14 elementary schools, 4 middle schools, and 3 high schools. So yes, all those things.
Wow. So are you, tell me more about how you're seeing where your role fits in within that larger scope of the district. How are you seeing that?
Okay, so just, and I forgot to mention this earlier. So each building, like elementary wise, and there's a secondary MTS just on the district level. My kind of partner, she serves and supports the middle and the high school. But from the elementary lens, each one of my buildings has an assigned MTSS like coordinator in their building, and I basically oversee them. So I kind of check in, do biweekly or bimonthly check-ins, coaching and guiding them on focusing on a priority as far as the areas of MTSS, is whether or not it's the infrastructure, the database, the interventions. Basically they meet with their leadership team, they select a priority area, and they're working on that for this year. So I oversee that work, making sure they have the team members at the table, making sure we're looking at multiple data points. So for me, for last year, first year in the role, I had to kind of understand where buildings were and who was the contact person and how I can best serve and support them. And so for this year, I kind of picked up on what I left off from last year, knowing what and who the person was, building on their teacher capacity, like building on their knowledge and skills and learning what MTSS is, knowing the gaps that may be in their building and how to best address those gaps as far as whether or not it's teacher professional learning. Because what I've learned from last year, people just didn't know what MTSS was. They just solely thought it was RTI, right? The pathway to special education kind of thing. And teachers were in that whole mindset of, not like not a growth mindset, looking at deficits for students and not pulling out the strengths. So it was more of me building that building MTSS to make sure that their cultures is in a good place, the school climate, as far as understanding what MTSS was. And so I kind of built that up last year. And now this year, I'm trying to get those structures in place. Like I know, like building, like pulling resources from other buildings, making sure that my MTSS are collaborating amongst each other. I created a Google Classroom for them. And so I kind of plug like reminders. So I'm trying to make it where it's a like it's our vision for our district. Like this is our thing. This is how we roll kind of thing, and making sure we have that same common language. And so I hope I answered your question. I
No,
think I
you
did.
did.
I kind of get
You
all over,
did.
Larissa. So please center me back.
No, you did.
I gotta go
So,
off.
just as you did for those teachers, really helping them understand what MTSS, can you maybe describe your journey with understanding MTSS as in multi-tiered systems of support? Because some people listening may not have that kind of foundation of MTSS. And I define it a little bit in our intro so that people know what we're talking about. But can you talk about your journey with MTSS?
And so for me, the whole me learning what MTSS was, of course, is the multi-tiered systems of support for students. And so what I think the you're providing I guess you're meeting students where they're at, whether it's at tier one, when you're differentiating within that tier one, identifying those students' needs, making sure like if you're knowing whether or not getting to know your learners, right? You may have some visual learners, you may have some auditory learners. So addressing all the needs right there at tier one is kind of that tier one instruction. Then you have that tier two when you're giving those kids that you're giving everybody that tier one, but then you're building on it for the kids that actually need that more, I guess, direct kind, not even direct, I guess an additional support level. So you may have a kid that may have a tier one in math. They may be okay in math, but they may have some gaps at that in reading. So you're providing that tier one, giving them that tier two for reading. And then ultimately that tier three is supposed to be that smaller subgroup of kids that you're targeting, providing that more direct intensive instruction or intervention. And so I kind of addressed it as everybody's getting that tier one instruction. You may be doing some enrichment, you may be doing all those things within that tier one, within your differentiation, within your groups. And then for those babies that have those smaller gaps, I'm thinking that you're closing those gaps within tier one. You're giving them all that, I mean, not tier one, tier two, you're giving them all the things in tier one, but then you're also doing some smaller groups to target those actual small gaps. You're closing those gaps, you're pushing those baby back to tier one. So it's kind of like a fluid kind of process. It's kind of how I made it make sense for teachers. I'm like, the goal is not to get babies, like it's a preventative framework. We're doing all we can to close gaps, to pushing back to tier one. So we're doing things to close the gaps, putting back at tier one. So I constantly remind them like it's a cycle. We're doing the things we can. We're adjusting our instruction. We're intervening. We're closing gaps, right? We're pushing. And for elementary world, I don't know if you're aware that in Clark County, we have what's called EIP teachers, so early intervention teachers, and that actually their job is to close gaps. So they're intervening, they're providing those things. And I keep reminding, I'm like, guys, ultimately you're trying to work yourself out of a job, right? You're trying to intervene, get kids what they need so they don't need your services or your support. So I think it was that whole shift of explaining the whole, I guess, hate to say it, the whole triangle. Like we have that inverted triangle, right? And so we're trying to close gaps where, because 80% of our kids aren't performing where they need to be as far as tier one. So I think the biggest thing for us and the whole mind shift of teachers is that getting to know your students, like their learners that they are, meeting them, addressing their needs, because all babies don't need tier two, tier three. You can do all those things within that tier one model. And I think, I don't know if it's the teachers get a little overwhelmed with the curriculum and the standards. I got to do this, this, and this. And then forgetting to meet students, getting to know their students and addressing those individual needs. So I can see how it can be like very stressful because I was in the classroom. This is only year two on a different like position. I was in those. I understand. I try to be very empathetic with teachers when I go in to do any kind of professional learning or when I'm checking in with my MTSS in the buildings to make sure that they embrace that and let teachers know, like, addressing the whole SEL for teachers, for educators, because we need it as well to remind them, like, we're in this together. That whole frame, the whole MTSS is bringing all the people to the table. You're addressing the whole child. You're looking at you may have to pull resources from your social worker. You may have to pull resources from your counselor, like all of us. And I think for me, it was making sure that buildings had those effective teams in place so they can get the perspective of different team members. So when we're looking at student data, we're having all the people at the table. We're looking at the whole child. We're looking at the attendance. We're looking at, they may have some other things going on in their home lives. So not just I guess, over-identifying students just for one data point, like making sure we're looking at all things. And I think that's kind of that was the whole my understanding, my takeaway with MTSs and how I portray it and how I coach buildings on looking at it, because ultimately we want kids to be successful at tier one. So I mean, we do have those babies that may need that more intensive one-on-one or small group instruction, but we're not, the plan is not to keep them there forever, right? We're doing what we can within that time frame. If we have to repeat a cycle of intervening, and then we're adjusting instruction as needed. So I think teachers were in that muddy place. Well, oh, I'm providing interventions so the child can get tested for an evaluation, right? But and I think for me, shifting that mindset, like, no, it's not RTI. It's not, I mean, it's in a component of MTSS. Yes, we will intervene as needed, but our goal is to get kids back to tier one and doing all we can, exhausting everything in tier one before we even have these conversations, making sure we're looking at all the data, the whole child, the SEL, everything. So I have to keep reminding people, like, the whole child. And I hate to keep saying that.
No, but that's important because I think that, especially I would say MTSS, I was familiar with that in, as a teacher myself, but really understanding all of the different components of it and how they work together. And it, I think, and I taught English, and so we really dealt with the RTI aspect. And, for a majority of my educational career, RTI was that way of identifying. So here's all the interventions. What have we done with this kid before we're gonna make it write an IEP for him? And so, or have him evaluated. And so, but it's really understanding that some of these things are just helping fill that gap for a student that maybe needs just that one area, that one puzzle piece to make everything make sense, or they just need help in this area, and then they're back at tier one. So I think my question, follow-up question for you is, when you were in the classroom, was MTSS on your radar? Did you have an understanding of that?
Not at all, Larissa. No. And it's so crazy. I have to bring that back to when I meet with buildings as well, when I'm building relationships with building teachers or coaches. I'm like, clearly me, I didn't know. I was special education. So my babies had already qualified. They already had services. I was, reading over their evaluation. They had things in place. So I didn't know the steps before that because I was already there, right? As far as kids that needed that individualized education plan. And so when I first, applied for this role and I did my research behind MTSS from the state's website, that kind of got me like very interested. I'm like, okay, wait, pause. So there are several things that have to take place, right? Like I knew I was familiar with RTI, and I was thinking that teachers were, collecting that data for special education, right? These are babies that we know they're not responding to my tier one instruction. I've done some things. And so I wasn't fully clear that it was all those other components with the PBIS, with your SEL, with the gifted enrichment. Like I keep forgetting, like, that's the, like, some babies need to be accelerated, right? They're not, even if they're not gifted, identified, we have some babies that still need that push. And so there was a whole misconception for me as well. I had, like, I've heard the acronym before, but fully understanding and addressing it and like taking it in, no, I was not there. I clearly just learned all this knowledge, and I'm still learning now as I go, just within these 2 years. And I think that's, yeah. And every time, like, I have coaching sessions with us, with our state consultant, and she gives us ton of resources. And I'm like, has MTSS always been in Georgia? Like, has it been a thing? And I think from what I've gathered from her, I think it was the whole RTI, and they shifted. They're shifting it now, whereas MTSS, right? So everybody can take on, like, it's the whole child, it's all these things, because I think that's how, I don't know whether or not in Georgia, it's kind of how we adopted the whole RTI and that whole understanding of how the process works.
I think probably the case for many states where RTI has been around a while, even PBIS, some of these ways of supporting students. Like we know that as educators, we need to, there needs to be something different for supporting students. And so when the MTSS really is looking at the system, not just what kind of resources can we give teachers, but like how can we structure a school district, a school system to really support students for where they're at and where they need to be and to kind of fill in those gaps. And I think when you start to think about it at the system level, the impact is a lot broader. Whereas, when you're in the classroom, there's only so much you can do for a student right? As a teacher, and you only have so much capacity. But when you work within a system, your capacity grows, I think, that in my experience.
Totally agree with you. Yes.
So can you tell us maybe a little bit about an experience with either a specific student or with a group of students that kind of demonstrates how MTSS can impact education?
Okay, a situation or a particular student. So this baby had just transferred to this school from another country. And so the teachers were already the parents, the teachers had met the parents. Parents were very adamant about that student that the English was their primary language. And so at home and everywhere else, but clearly the teachers had already identified from day one, like the tier one instruction was not, the student didn't know what was going on, basically, didn't understand it. It was that language barrier. And so instantly the teachers, scheduled a meeting. They got everybody on the table. The teachers already, they had basically scheduled a meeting for parents, all team members to kind of understand and try to figure out that student's individual, like their needs. And so immediately the teacher had honestly admitted, like, I first thought that, hey, this child definitely needs a plan, an intervention. There's definitely some gaps in the academics. And the teacher had immediately initially thought that this child needed, interventions. They didn't, they couldn't access tier one. We got to put some things in place. And I did a great job of coaching that building level MTSS. They knew right ahead, like, hey, no. We're going to look at the whole child. We're going to bring in the ESOL teacher. We're going to bring in the parents. We're going to look for some resources to best help this child, be successful at tier one. Brought the parent in for a meeting, got all the team members on the table, and we were trying to figure out how to best to support that student at that tier one level. And so I remember I was at the meeting as well. They invited me. The thing was that child, the parents, I think had that their mindset was, I'm going to tell their teachers that the baby that we don't speak English at home, because they didn't really know that I guess additional resources that could be provided within the school system to help support that student. And so our ESOL teacher and our ESOL director at the district level, him and I kind of talked and we shared. He shared some resources with me as far as a language line that we have a language line that's accessible for parents to access in their native language. And so that parent had basically, reached out to that language line and we were going to plan how to best support their student. I think they were under the impression that if I tell the school that my child doesn't speak English, they're going to automatically put my child, in special education. It's kind of where my mind went. Like, I think the parents didn't really understand the resources in the system that we could put in place at tier one to support that student. And the team had already decided that, no, we're not going to intervene. We're going to base support this student at this tier one and do things to address, that language barrier. And I found it like that was, I was like, well, wow, they knew at hand. Like the teacher, the Jeanette teacher honestly knew, well, she honestly, like she admitted, like I was going to already say that this child needed some interventions, but then the MTSS was at that meeting. She's like, no, we need to intervene. We need to put people at the table. We need to actually put things in place at tier one. Like it was I guess like a happy moment for me because I knew that I had coached that person to know that they needed to, first have that team meeting to get the people at the table to actually unpack and get to know the student, right? And find things, resources that were out there to help the family as well as the student.
No, that makes sense because I think that the MTSS structure provides of like we're not going to jump to this one sort of like,
Yes.
there's a learning disability here. It's more of like let's gather some more information and
Yes.
it's about making that data decision plan, right? So, and yes, there
Right.
is an intervention, but language intervention is a part of the whole process. And I think that that's where MTSS, when it's a system level thing, can help students because it's we're not working in isolation. Because maybe if that general education teacher was working in isolation, she may have not known that there could be other resources that are needed here. So I think
Oh,
that that's a very great example.
yes.
Like in all of this, it sounds, I mean, one, it comes across that you're very passionate about helping teachers and helping your schools be able to create systems to support students and help fill in the gaps. What would you really want others to know about MTSS or multi-tiered systems of support? Like, what would you want other people to know about this?
Definitely, that is not the pathway to special education, right? Definitely, that it's a team approach. it takes, I guess, building off of others' knowledge and learning from each other to figure out the needs of a student, right? You can't do this by yourself. It's not a, this is my student, my class. You seek those additional resources. If you don't know, ask for help. This is why we have systems in place and we have team members available to help support. And I think for MTSS from the parent lens, I think when you're giving and having those discussions with parents, let parents know that it's not just a school effort, it's you as well. We want you involved in your child's education, right? So I think definitely knowing that it's a team effort, definitely it's not the pathway, it's a preventative framework. We're in this as a to stop, you know, to stop that pathway. It's a fluid process. We're intervening, we're closing gaps, we're shifting kids back to tier one because ultimately we want everyone to be successful within that tier one instruction.
Yes, exactly. I know that you're only 2 years into this role,
Yes.
but what is a goal that you have for yourself or your school community?
For myself, definitely to within my role of coaching, building level MTSS, making sure that they understand the multi-level systems, making sure that they build that structure within their building, making sure they know that providing their ongoing professional learning within their building to support like new teachers coming in, to support or to refresh, you know, the veteran teachers, like making sure that we are closing that gap as far as teacher, the culture within that building to understand what MTSS is. Definitely that's where I'm at right now with coaching those people on a district level, making sure that we are doing, I guess, building those structures at a district level to streamline it that where it filters out into buildings. And additionally, providing that professional learning, ongoing professional learning. I keep saying it because I think from what like this year too, the conversations that I'm having with building MTSS and from what they give me when I check in, like my teachers just didn't know. They only thought it was RTI. So I think that that constant line of communication, that constant professional learning, like reteaching it, stating it over and over again, I think that's what buildings need. That's what our district kind of needs as well. Like I know it's out there. We know what it is, but I think that ongoing, like talking, like the PBIS with our counselors, with our social workers on the district level, like all of us collaborating, like an SEL team, an MTSS district level team, like us having that whole common language. We have our MTSS handbook that I'm very passionate about as far as us updating it as a district, like us collaborating all these bits and pieces and us targeting and making sure that when we roll it out again to each building that they're aware that this is a structure, right? This is our culture. This is our vision. This is what MTSS is on the district level. So like I said, it filters out in the building so they don't have to feel like we're silos, like we're only, this is what this building does, or this is what this, it should be, no, this is what our district does, right? We should all speak that language. So that's kind of where I am. I want us all to get in that space of like, this is Clark County. This is how we roll. Like, this is what we do, not individual buildings language, if that makes sense. So I'm
Yeah,
hoping to coach
no.
buildings and then ultimately coach like us on the district level to all collaborate. Like we've started this year, but it's so with the scheduling, getting everybody on the same page to meet, to have these ongoing meetings, to think it through, like how can we provide professional learning? Like, and I think that's kind of where we're struggling right now, trying to get us all to schedule a time where we can think through these pieces on how, like, we all want this vision. We all, like, it's in our strategic plan for our district, but I guess for us to all come together, that's the
Yeah.
little
Well, it's even to take that vision and dissipate it among,
Yes.
what does that look like on the ground level? Because I think, I mean, I've sat in those district level meetings before where we talk about this vision and we
Yes.
talk about these goals that we have, but like what you always have to think about is like, what does that mean on the ground level? What does it mean for the teacher and the student? And
Yes.
Can we build a system to support that and give the resources to the teachers to be able to do that work so we can achieve that goal? Because we can make it sound really great, but like we also have to like, what does that look like on the ground?
Yes.
Like, what does that look
Yes.
like for the students? And so I think that's always a good, dissipating that down, because I always think it's a little bit like telephone, right? Where you say it to one person and then that person kind of interprets it a little bit differently and they say it, and so it's like, does it get distorted by the ground level? And like, how do we make sure that it's where everybody's clear and we're all on the same
Yes,
page and it doesn't get distorted?
yes, yes. That's it, Larissa. That's it. Like we do so many great things in our district. I'm like, we just all need to to have that common language, like, because yeah, you totally recapture exactly what I was trying to portray. Like, I
Well,
was
your enthusiasm is very contagious, in the fact that I can
trying.
tell that you the ability for you to go into a school and really help ignite a passion among the teachers, it can is really effective, because you portray that joy of, like, you're there to help fill those gaps and help those students. So, because I was going to ask you about, like, what's exciting about your work, but I feel like you just kind of, like, shared that throughout this whole conversation. So we just have a little bit of time left. I love asking this question, because I think, for, I don't know, I'm feeling like I'm getting some similar answers in every conversation I have with teachers, and it's kind of silly, but as an educator, what's your favorite school supply?
Oh, girl, my post-it, sticky notes. I live by these, Larissa. I have them like all over my this little desk right here. It's kind of like my I do like a daily affirmation on them every day as well. Like, it's kind of my this is what I'm going to speak positive into people or into my building, MTSS. And then I have it like as a to-do list, an ongoing to-do list. So I have multiple sticky notes. I have the large ones, the medium, the smalls. It's kind of how I run my life.
Do you love those, like, large post-it sticky notes, like poster sticky notes? Do you
Yes,
use those in professional development? I always
I
love, I use
should.
those in my classroom all the time, because those were, it's just so easy. You could stick them.
Yes, girl, I do. I kind of like I have them everywhere. If I were to be in my office today, I'm actually at one of the schools today because I was have the meeting with one of the APs after this. But my office has sticky, like the big anchor charts behind me. I'm like, yeah, I'm that girl. I have a bag full of post-it notes, sticky notes.
Well, and you know who introduced me to those big post-it notes is elementary teachers, because the anchor chart thing,
Yes, that's us.
I spent many years in middle school before I really was introduced to anchor charts, because I came from
Oh,
more of a high school background, and I think
gotcha.
that's always the fun blend in a middle school, is like the people who have elementary background and the people who have high school background, and, like, it's a
Things come
very,
together.
very, very weird mix of people. Well,
Oh,
Tiffany, thank you so much for this conversation, and thank you for just the work that you're doing. I think that it's important to have those passionate leaders wanting to really help kids and help students, and then and really help teachers do that. And I think in this day and age, teaching can be is such hard work. And so we need people that can maintain that, bring that passion, and ignite the fire in teachers to really do the work, and help build the system that supports them, because without that system, it can be really hard to keep going. So we appreciate all that you do. So thank you for being with us.
Yes, thank you so much, Larissa, for the opportunity to share out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Schoolin' Around, hosted by Branching Minds. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. You can find us on our website, branchingminds.com, or connect with us on Twitter or Facebook at Branching Minds.